Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short head.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
The focus of today's show will be government officials who can't keep the 9/11 story straight and fake news. 9/11 is more important today than ever and is still being used as the justification for the continuing fraudulent global war on terror and the frightening crackdown on our civil liberties everywhere, not just in the U.S. It's the convenient excuse given by the U.S. and its allies to invade and occupy any country in the world. And conveniently, many of these countries just happen to have coveted natural resources or land. So exposing the truth about 9/11 seems to be the only way to stop these illegal wars of occupation and the death and destruction they bring to innocent people in other countries and also to our own soldiers who bravely go into these wars believing that they are protecting their country, not realizing that they are being manipulated by their own government to further the Project for a New American Century agenda of full-spectrum dominance by the U.S. of the world, and at the same time enriching many in the arms and banking industries in the process. Sometimes the elite themselves have trouble keeping the reality and the lies straight, and they slip and say some pretty revealing things. On today's show, I'm going to share with you 8 examples of this. So let's begin with the first blooper by blooper-in-chief, former President George W. Bush, who was president when 9/11 happened. These first few examples that you're about to hear are about the World Trade Center buildings. Now remember, the official government story, as told by the government, the 9/11 Commission report, and repeated, unchallenged, by the controlled corporate and much of the supposed alternative media, is that the Twin Towers collapsed due to fires generated by the planes hitting the Twin Towers, and that World Trade Center Building 7 was brought down by fires that spread from the Twin Towers. And here he is, former President George W. Bush.
As soon as Congress acts on this bill, the men our intelligence agencies believed helped orchestrate the 9/11 attacks can face justice. The bill would also provide clear rules for our personnel involved in detaining and questioning captured terrorists. The information that the Central Intelligence Agency has obtained by questioning men like Khalaik Sheikh Mohammed has provided valuable information and has helped disrupt terrorist plots, including strikes within the United States. For example, Khalaik Sheikh Mohammed described the design of planned attacks on buildings inside the U.S. and how operatives were directed to carry him out. That is valuable information for those of us who have the responsibility to protect the American people. He told us the operatives had been instructed to ensure that the explosives went off at a point that was high enough to prevent people trapped above from escaping. That the explosives went off at a point that was high enough to prevent people trapped above from escaping.
So there you have it, Bush talking about bombs in the World Trade Centers. And of course, as many of you already know, Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA. You also know that the anthrax scare came from U.S. military and corporate sources, and that many, if not all, of the other domestic plots that Bush refers to were orchestrated by the FBI, entrapping poor and sometimes mentally challenged individuals with thousands of dollars. And don't take my word for it. It's been well documented by some mainstream news sources like Rolling Stone magazine and Fox News. And while you're at it, if you're really curious, look up Operation Gladio, and you'll learn that this isn't the first time this behavior has been used by our wonderful leaders. And now the next clip you're going to hear is a British member of parliament making the same error that former President Bush made, talking about bombs going off in the World Trade Center towers. So here he is.
it's worth remembering why we're here, why we're fighting, what this is all about. This is not a war of choice, it is a war of necessity. This is not a war of occupation, it's a war of obligation. On 9/11, when the Twin Towers were blown up, and so many British people died, as well as Americans.
Did you catch that? Let's hear it again.
On 9/11, when the Twin Towers were blown up, almost every single person that took part in that attack was trained here in Afghanistan by Al-Qaeda. That's why we came here. That's why we cleared away those training camps. And if we left tomorrow, those training camps could come back tomorrow.
Well, unfortunately, it looks like the only truth this British MP told was actually the blooper remark about the bombs in the Twin Towers. And now here's the current U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, slipping up and actually revealing a little bit of 9/11 truth about the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, which wasn't hit by a plane on 9/11.
Also, a question I have for you. World Trade Center 7 was brought down on September 11th at 5:20 in the evening. The leaseholder of the World Trade Center complex, Larry Silverstein, gave a public interview on PBS in 2002, and he said that they pulled that building, which is a demolition term for intentionally bringing down a building. This man made over $5 billion from those buildings' destruction, and I want to know if there was ever a formal investigation into Larry Silverstein, the leaseholder of the World Trade Center complex, and his ties to this entire event.
I don't believe there's been a formal investigation. I haven't heard that. I don't know that. I do know that that wall, I remember, was in danger, and I think that they made a decision based on the danger that it had of destroying other things, that they did it in a controlled fashion.
And let's hear that again.
That wall, I remember, was in danger, and I think that they made a decision based on the danger that it had of destroying other things, that they did it in a controlled fashion.
Of course, when the 2,700-plus members of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth provide the scientific evidence proving the collapse of World Trade Center 7 by controlled demolition, they're called conspiracy theorists. John Kerry, of course, doesn't elaborate on who would have had access to World Trade Center 7 to wire it for controlled demolition. And since World Trade Center 7 housed the CIA, the Security and Exchange Commission, and other federal agencies, is it really likely that Al-Qaeda would have had access to this building for the extended period of time needed to wire it for controlled demolition? Well, let's move on to another George W. Bush slip-up. This time he's talking about the planes.
And you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to wonder exactly what President George W. Bush knew about the attack, and when he knew it. According to the official White House version, it was at this moment in a Florida classroom that Bush learned the second plane had hit the World Trade Center and that the U.S. was under attack. But here's what George Bush himself said almost 3 months later when asked about September 11th.
I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower the TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, well, there's one terrible pilot. And I said, it must have been a horrible accident. But I was whisked off there. I didn't have much time to think about it.
Now, wait a minute. George Bush was told about the second plane while he was inside the classroom. So you just heard him describe seeing the first plane crash on television that day. But that's impossible. No one saw the first plane crash on TV on September the 11th because the videotape of it didn't surface until the next day.
And the videotape he's referring to was the one caught by the supposed French film crew known as the Naudet brothers, who were in New York City filming New York City firefighters, and supposedly just by luck caught the plane hitting the first tower. I've done a show on the questionable Naudet brothers, which you can find on radioforall.net if you'd like more information about these apparently fraudulent Naudet brothers. And now let's take a look at the Pentagon. Of course, the official government conspiracy theory is that the Pentagon was hit by a plane that had been hijacked by Middle Eastern terrorists. And the plane and the ensuing fires were what caused all of the damage. First, we'll hear what a CNN reporter saw on September 11th in the morning at the Pentagon.
Outside the Pentagon, CNN's military affairs correspondent Jamie McIntyre. And Jamie, you got very close to where that plane went down.
That's right, Judy. A while ago, I walked right up to next to the building where firefighters were still trying to put out the blaze. The fire, by the way, is still burning in some parts of the Pentagon. And I took a look at the huge gaping hole that's in the side of the Pentagon in an but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual side of the building that's crashed in, and as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around.
There's a lot of disagreement within the 9/11 truth movement about what did or did not hit the Pentagon. But what has been proven is that there were also bombs going off in the Pentagon on 9/11, just like in the Twin Towers and World Trade Center 7. April Gallup, who was working at the Pentagon on 9/11, said she saw no plane parts, no luggage, no passengers, bodies, etc., and nothing to indicate that a passenger plane had hit the Pentagon. Perhaps this next slip-up by 9/11 Commissioner Tim Romer reveals what really happened.
At any point during this day, were you just, in a very base way, afraid?
There were many times, Miles, that you were afraid. You were worried, especially when I was standing in front of the Pentagon that night, seeing one of our fortresses pried open by a missile airplane.
Okay, let's hear that again.
Fortresses pried open by a missile airplane.
Mr. Romer catches himself quickly there. You know, the actual government name for their investigation into 9/11 is called PENTBOMB, and that's spelled P-E-N-T-T for Twin Towers, bomb. So PENTBOMB. I mean, that name in itself raises a few questions. And now here's Bill Clinton on the Neil deGrasse Tyson show slipping up on the Pentagon. He doesn't seem to even get that he's made a mistake here, and that he's contradicting the official government story about what happened at the Pentagon.
By the time I had been a governor 12 years, when I got elected president, I felt that there were basically three components to any job like that. You had to have a vision for where you wanted to go, lay out a strategy, and try to execute that. That's the one thing. Second, you had to deal with the incoming fire. When George Bush and Al Gore ran for president, they had three debates. Nobody said, what are you going to do when the twin trade towers come down and the Pentagon's bombed.
And let's hear that again.
Twin trade towers come down and the Pentagon's bombed.
But now let's move on to slip-ups about what happened to Flight 93. The official government conspiracy theory is that the plane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, while the brave passengers were attacking the alleged Middle Eastern hijackers. And now here's former Secretary of Defense in the Bush administration, Donald Rumsfeld, shedding some light on what may have really happened to Flight 93 that supposedly had crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
If we imagine the kind of world we would face if the people who bombed the Vestal in Mosul, or the people who did the bombing in Spain, or the people who attacked the United States in New York, shot down the plane over Pennsylvania and attacked the Pentagon.
And let's hear that again.
Or the people who attacked the United States in New York, shot down the plane over Pennsylvania and attacked the Pentagon.
And again, when someone in the 9/11 truth movement talks about Flight 93 being shot down, we're called conspiracy theorists. And now here's what an eyewitness had to say about Flight 93.
I've seen the pictures. It looks like there's nothing there except for a hole in the ground. Any large pieces of debris at all?
No, there was nothing that you could distinguish that a plane had crashed there.
Smoke, fire?
Nothing. It was absolutely quiet. It was actually very quiet.
How big would you say that hole was?
From my estimates, I would guess it was probably about 20 to 15 feet long and probably about 10 feet long or 10 feet wide.
And now here's former Vice President Dick Cheney himself making a similar bloop about Flight 93.
You and the president had earlier discussed rules of engagement for taking down a hijacked airplane, but you were the one who gave the direct order to shoot down a plane that you were told, as it turns out incorrectly, was headed for Washington.
Right. That's correct.
What's that moment like?
Well, it was necessary. And it was frankly, I didn't
pause to think about it very much, because once one of those aircraft became, was hijacked, it was a weapon. We'd seen already by that time three of them go in to the Pentagon and the World Trade Center in New York. As a result, thousands died, and if we had been in a position to intercept one of those to keep it from striking its target, would we have done it? Absolutely. And what I did was pass on the president's approval of the basic proposition that we would, in fact, authorize our people to shoot down aircraft that had been hijacked and refused to divert. So I saw it as part of my responsibility, but I did it quickly because we had a lot of other things we were doing at the same time.
Dick Cheney is clearly talking about Flight 93 here, but he seems to have forgotten that the 9/11 Commission report said that Flight 93 crashed in Shanksville, and the reason you can't see any of it there is that it fell into a mine shaft below and was sucked into that hole. So both Rumsfeld and Cheney contradict the 9/11 Commission report and support what many in the 9/11 Truth Movement have been saying for years, which was that Flight 93 was shot down over Pennsylvania. And the evidence to support that is that there were parts from the plane found over an 8-mile radius. So these government officials that you just heard can't seem to keep the propaganda separate from what really happened on 9/11. Maybe that's why the corporately controlled, quote, mainstream media outlet, The Washington Post, recently published an article with a list of 200, quote, fake news outlets. Perhaps it was to help these aging government officials with perhaps bad memories keep the story straight by getting their news from the right sources. Some of the supposedly fake news outlets on the list of 200 are InfoWars, that's Alex Jones, Zero Hedge, True Activist, Natural News, Ending the Fed, The Corbett Report, which is one of my favorites, Washington's Blog, another good site, Before It's News, Ron Paul Institute, Hang the Bankers. Now, there's one I hadn't heard of, but now I'll check it out thanks to this Washington Post article. It goes on to add the Activist Post, the Anti-Media, Veterans Today, South Front. And by the way, southfront.org is a good website if you want to follow what's going on in Syria, so I can understand why they don't want you to see that one. And continuing on the list, Your Newswire, America's Freedom Fighters, Global Research, my really favorite website, and Paul Craig Roberts, another great website. Many of the websites that have been labeled, quote, fake news, have challenged the official story of 9/11 and the government and corporate media's demonization of Russia and Putin. It's quite an irony that a once respected corporate and, quote, mainstream media outlet such as the Washington Post would come out with an article with a list of, quote, fake alternative news sites, when it was instrumental in promoting the false news of the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, to name just one example, that helped to gather public support for the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq. Journalist Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! Documented in one of her books that there were over 400 CIA agents working in the corporate media. So I ask you, who are the real fake news outlets? The list of 200 alternative websites listed in the Washington Post, or the Washington Post itself? I think listening to Udo Ulfkott, German journalist and whistleblower, will help to answer that question. And here he is, Udo Ulfkott. And this is from an interview he did on Russia Today.
I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. But seeing right now, within the last months, how the German and American media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia, this is a point of no return. And I am going to stand up and say it is not right what I have done in the past, to manipulate people, to make propaganda against Russia. And it is not right what my colleagues do and have done in the past, because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, all over Europe. The reason writing this book was that I am very fearful of a new war in Europe, and I don't like to have this situation again, because war is never coming from itself. There is always people behind it to push for war. And this is not only politicians, this is journalists too. And I just have written in the book how we have betrayed in the past our readers just to push for war, because I don't want this anymore. I'm fed up with this propaganda. We live in a banana republic and not in a democratic country where we have press freedom, where we have human rights. If you see the German media, especially my colleagues who day by day write against the Russians, who are in transatlantic organizations and who are supported by the United States to do so, well, people like me, I became an honorary citizen of the state of Oklahoma in the United States just because I wrote pro-American. I was supported by the Central Intelligence Agency, by the CIA. Why? Because I should be pro-American. I'm fed up with it. I don't want to do it anymore. So I've just written a book not to earn money. No, it will cause a lot of trouble for me, just to give the people in this country, in Germany, in Europe, and all over the world, just to give them a glimpse of a view what goes up behind the closed doors. There is many examples for that. If we go just back to history, if you go into the year 1988, if you go to your archives, you will find in March 1988 that there was in Iraq, the Kurdish people have been gassed with poisoned gas. That is known all over the world. But in July 1988, they sent me to a town called Zubaydat, that is on the Iraqi-Iranian border. It was war between the Iranians and the Iraqis, and I was sent there to photograph how the Iranians have been gassed with poisoned gas, with German poisoned gas. You call it Lost and Zarin, mustard gas, made by Germany. They have been gassed, and I was there to make photographs how these people have been killed by poisoned gas from Germany. When I came back to Germany, there was just one small photo in a newspaper, in the Frankfurter Allgemeine, and there was one small article not writing how impressive, brutally, how unhuman, how terrible it was to kill decades after the end of the Second World War people with German poisoned gas. So this was a situation I feel misused for having been there and just to give a documentary what has been done, but not being allowed to cry out to the world what we have done behind closed doors. Up to today, it's not well known in the public that was German public gas. There have been hundreds or thousands of people gassed in this city of Zubaydat. Now, you ask, what have I done for intelligence agencies? So, please see, most of the journalists you see in foreign countries, they claim to be journalists, and they might be journalists, European or American journalists, but many of them, like me in the past, are so-called non-official cover. That's what the Americans call that. I have been a non-official cover. Non-official cover means what? It means you too work for an intelligence agency. You help them if they want you to help them, but they will never, never, when they find out that you are not only a journalist, but a spy too, they will never say, oh, this was one of our guys. They will not know you. That means non-official cover. So I have helped them in several situations, and I feel ashamed for that too now. Like I feel ashamed that I have worked for a very recommended newspaper like the Frankfurter Allgemeine, because I was bribed by billionaires, I was bribed by the Americans not to report exactly the truth. But I just imagined in my car while I was driving to this interview, I just tried to work out in my brain what would have happened if I would have written a pro-Russian article in the Frankfurter Allgemeine. Well, I don't know what would have happened, but we were all educated to write pro-European, pro-American, but please, not pro-Russian. So I'm very sorry for that, but this is not what I understand for democracy and for press freedom. I'm very sorry for that. Germany is still a kind of a colony of the United States. You see that in many points, like the majority of the Germans don't want to have nukes in our country, but we still have American nukes. So we are still a kind of a colony of the Americans. And being a colony, it is very easy to approach young journalists through what is very important here is transatlantic organizations. all journalists from really respected and recommended big German newspapers, magazines, radio stations, TV stations. They are all members or guests of those big transatlantic organizations. And in these transatlantic organizations, you are approached to be pro-American. And there is nobody coming to you and say, well, we are the Central Intelligence Agency. Would you like to work for us? No, this is not the case how it happens. What they do, these transatlantic organizations, is they invite you for seeing the United States. They pay for that. They pay all your expenses and everything. So you are bribed. You get more and more corrupt because they make you good contacts. You won't know that those good contacts are, let's say, non-official covers or officially people working for Central Intelligence Agency or other American agencies. So you make friends. You think they are friends and you cooperate with them. But they ask you, well, could you do me this favor? Could you do me that favor? And so your brain more and more is brainwashed through these guys. And is this only the case with German journalists? No. I think it is especially the case with British journalists because they have a much closer relationship. It is especially the case with Israelis, of course, with French journalists for a part, not that big as with German or with British journalists. It is the case for Australian journalists, for journalists from New Zealand, from Taiwan, from, well, there is many countries, countries in the Arab world, like Jordan, for example, like Oman, the Sultanate of Oman. There is many countries where this happens, where you find people to claim they are respected journalists, but if you look behind them, you'll find they are puppets on a string of the Central Intelligence Agency. Sometimes the intelligence agencies, they come to your office and want you to write an article. I give you an example, not from strange other journalists, from me myself. I've just forgotten the year. I just remember that the German Foreign Intelligence, Bundesnachrichtendienst, it is just a sister organization of the Central Intelligence Agency. It was founded by the American Intelligence Agency. So one day, the BND, this German Foreign Intelligence Agency, came to my office at the Frankfurter Allgemeine in Frankfurt, and they wanted me to write an article about Libya and about Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. I had absolutely no secret informations regarding Colonel Muammar Gaddafi and Libya. But they gave me all these secret informations and they just wanted me to sign the article with my name. I did that, but it was an article that was published in the Frankfurt Allgemeine that originally came from the Bundesnachrichtendienst, from the German Foreign Intelligence Agency. So do you really think that this is journalism, intelligence agencies writing articles? That article was how Libya and Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, how he secretly tried to build a poison gas factory, I think in Rabta was the name, yeah. It was a story that was printed worldwide 2 days later. But I had no information on that. It was the intelligence agency that wanted me to write this article. So, but this is not the way journalism should work, that intelligence agencies, that they decide what is printed and what not. If I say no, I give you a very good example if you say no. Well, we have a rescue unit in Germany with helicopters for traffic accidents. They call themselves the Yellow Angels. There was one guy who didn't want to cooperate. He was a pilot of the helicopter service of the Yellow Angels in Germany. This guy said no to the Foreign Intelligence Service, Bundesnachrichtendienst, when they approached him and wanted him as a non-official cover to work for the German Foreign Intelligence Agency, just to pretend to be somebody from the Yellow Angels. So what happened was that he lost his job. And the court in Germany, the judge decided that they were right because such a guy could not be trusted. He was kicked off his job because he didn't cooperate with the Foreign Intelligence Service. So I knew what would happen if I would not cooperate with intelligence services. I have had 6 times my house was house searched because I was accused by the public prosecutor, the German public prosecutor. I was accused of leaking secrets of states. 6 times house searched. Well, they hoped that I wouldn't do that. ever again. But I think it's worse that the truth will come out one day. The truth won't die. And I don't mind what will happen. I've had 3 heart attacks. I have no children. So if they want to bring me to court or to prison, so it's worse for the truth.
And this concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.